Hi, I'm Alexa.
And I'm Rory. And together we are...
The Romies!
We are married.
To each other.
Right. We are a touring musical duo.
And our music has taken us to all kinds of places all around the world and keeps us always on the go.
So we hope you enjoy our stories and adventures while running around working to keep all your plates spinning.
And we hope to facilitate your busy lifestyle and feed your inner travel bug.
Mm-hmm. A recent U.S. Travel Association survey found that not only do family vacations create lasting memories, but many adults also say that their most vivid childhood recollections are of family vacations. What say you?
Well, I definitely agree. A lot of my childhood memories are of family vacations and how impactful they were and even the road trips and the long, how boring they were, and are we there yet? And all the little games we'd try to come up with to keep the road trip interesting and exciting. Because as a kid, sometimes scenery isn't as fascinating as it is for adults, but also sometimes you're just in areas where there's not fun scenery on a long road trip.
The most fun thing to do is almost touch your sibling.
Mom,
I'm not touching him.
Yeah, you're one of five, so yes, totally
lots
different experience
of
for you.
Sibling touching going on, if you will.
Well, we had some friends over this past weekend that came to visit us, and we hopped on a little rafting trip and started some conversation, and that kind of spurred today's episode. And what I want to talk about is, how old do you have to be to actually remember your epic family vacation? Because in a couple of episodes back, we talked about summer trends. And one of the trends this summer is that folks, you know, have been trapped inside for so long. They're like, you know what? We don't know how long we're going to get to travel. Things might change again, get crazy. So let's take our epic vacation now, you know, or gosh, we've been stuck at home so long. We're going to take that epic vacation. And so the question is your child going to remember this epic vacation?
If you have,
yes. And so we were with our friends that I mentioned, and she lived in Spain when she was a kid. And I said, oh, do you remember, you know, did you like it? Did you like living there? And she said, well, I was only 5 or 6. So it really didn't, like, everything was just a vague memory for her at ages 5 to 6. So she lived in Spain, and at ages 5 to 6, you know, and she's American and grew up in America. So very different places to grow up. And at ages 5 or 6, she was still kind of too young to sort of remember that.
Well, but at the same time, that's where she was living. So it wasn't like, oh, we're going on a vacation and make memories. It's like, you're living there. So I can see how that would not make as much of an impact as we're making a special short trip somewhere.
Yes. But you would think, oh, well, still you'd remember where you live, you know, experiences of where you lived and that kind of thing. And it being foreign to where you moved from. So that got me thinking about my trip to Hawaii with our family vacation. I was 7 years old.
Two words come to my mind. You know what they are? Because I've heard this your vacation, Hawaii vacation thing before. Two words come to my mind.
Tuna guts?
Yes, tuna guts.
Good for you.
Okay, there you go. Tuna guts.
Wow, even Rory remembers my 7-year-old vacation.
Mm-hmm.
So our family... Mom, dad, sister, and me. It was just 4 of us. That's all we have in our family. I remember that I was 7 years old. And when we went to Hawaii, I remember everything from the scenery to the food to experiences to buying the little grass skirt and getting my picture taken to the smells and all of that. And so I feel like, at least for me, there was probably, when my friend mentioned at 5 or 6, not really remembering Spain that well, and then how vividly I remembered Hawaii from age 7, it just made me think, if you're going to be taking that epic vacation this summer, I just want to encourage you, and you have kids, or, you know, I mean, even you, I mean, whether you have kids or not, the way that you're going to remember a vacation the most is by all of the senses that get engaged. And so I grew up in Albuquerque, New Mexico, so I'm in the desert. So when I go from the desert to Hawaii, right, it's a completely different experience, complete sensory overload and super, super different. And so, you know, there were all of the luaus and all of the Hawaiian music, all of the smells from tuna guts to fresh pineapple to sugar cane to macadamia nuts to the food. And, you know, now I eat vegetarian and vegan, but I'm telling you, that roasted pig that we had at the luau, there was one night at a luau.
That'll turn anyone.
That will turn ya.
Uh-huh.
I mean, even now, I remember how amazingly delicious that pig was that they roasted over the fire.
It's magically delicious.
It was so tender, and just the flavors were unreal. The whole luau, the dances, getting flower lays, and just all of that. Like, the whole experience was super memorable. And I think it's just because as to develop and create memories, the more senses that you can involve in that, you're going to have more senses. So when we... you're going to have more vivid memories. So, yeah, you can take your pictures, and sometimes we only remember what the picture showed. Because we remember the picture, you know, when we look back at things, whether we're 7 or, you know, 17 or 70, right? We can look at a picture and go, oh yeah, I went to Spain one time. But all we remember is maybe that picture. And so pictures help. They definitely help. And they kind of help capture moments. But when you can involve somehow things that are going to involve more smells, sights, tastes, touch,
sounds,
all of that, you know, color, and
extra sensory perception.
Yeah. So if you're going to take that epic vacation this summer, as different as it can be from your normal environment, for one, I think that's going to create a lot of stimuli that puts you on super hyper alert, that, like, oh, it's like all of these senses, it's almost like sensory overload. Gosh, I've got all these new colors, all these different types of sceneries, this different climate, these different accents that people speak, different music that I'm hearing. The streets are cobblestone instead of dirt, you know, whatever it is. My point is, as different as you can have an experience, the more epic it is,
well, the more senses,
the more
involves.
Sensory overload, then the more likely your young child will remember the epic vacation that you spent so much money on. And well, that, I mean, that's the point. Like, when you're going to spend so much money on your epic vacation, you don't, you know, and you're taking your kids, you don't want them to just, like, never remember what happened, or, you know, go through the motions. And sometimes that might happen because that's the age they are. And hey, well, you're going to go.
Studies have shown.
Regardless.
Studies have shown that 5 years old is generally the age at which children, it's generally the age they reach at which they begin remembering things like vacations and stuff like that.
Ages five and six.
But every child's different, so it's hard to know. But one thing that can help, in addition to overloading their senses, which is probably not what she's meaning to say, but yeah.
But it's kind of
one thing that can help in addition to that is talking about the experiences, like remembering it, talking about it, how great it was, retelling the stories with them, all that kind of a thing. I mean, they can become things of family legend, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
And it'll help solidify it in their mind, and they'll remember it better. And then later on, they'll tell their friends the stories, and even when they're adults, they'll be like, I remember when I was a kid. And the reason they remember is because you all talked about it as a family again and again and had fun with it, and, you know,
right.
Reminisced.
And I love that, because then it becomes more of just a one-time experience, right? It's a lifetime, it's a life-changing event.
It's a one-time lifetime experience.
Yes, that is a bonding experience for your family. And that's something that is so hard to put a price tag on. And something
though the airlines have found a way.
It's something that's like super hard to recreate in any other situation. The travel is just so essential to help building family connections, or even, you know, in a relationship. It just deepens your experiences together and gives you that shared new experience together that really form a bond that is, you know, like I said, priceless.
Oh, yeah.
And we talked about this, too, in a previous episode, and I'll put this in the show notes, with the Family Travel Association. And, you know, we interviewed... With the Family Travel Association. Hold on, I pulled it up. Family Travel Association. Talking about, you know, how grandma took him on a trip and how memorable it was and how it changed his life, etc. So I'll put show notes to that episode.
That was before she got run over by the reindeer.
Rory, that's...
Well, I mean, after that, they didn't take those kind of trips anymore. Not quite as epic.
She did not get run over by a reindeer.
Well, I'm
just
saying.
How dare you say that?
Well.
All right.
I do have
Grandma
these great memories.
Was sweet.
When I was a kid, we'd jump in our open road motorhome and go on family vacations. It was awesome. Some amazing memories from that. And some really funny stories that we still tell on each other.
Yes.
That's fun.
Yep. So it's good times. So whether you're taking a return vacation, you know, just to go see family and, you know, or go see a place you go every year, that's going to create memories as well. But if you're going to be taking that epic vacation, you want to spend all that money and you want to know if your kids are going to remember it and is it worth going this year or do you wait another year or two till they can remember and embrace it? It'll depend on them and their age and all of that, but hopefully we've given you a couple things to think about as you dive into your summer adventures and planning future ones.
Yes, and apparently 5 or 6 is the magic number for most children.
But for me, it was 7.
Really? That's the perfect number.
Perfect number.
Wow.
And that was a pivotal number for me as well for, like, even my faith. That was just an age that where I was able to start getting things.
And it's interesting that 7 was such an important number to you, but when it came time to getting married, 10 was the number that you chose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's interesting that you chose a 10 instead of a 7.
Just, you are a 10,
just
babe.
Saying, yeah. I was thinking...
And now it's time for our travel tip.
Now? Okay. I was thinking...
He so doesn't know the order of everything.
Earlier, before she interrupted me all those times, that...
almost July.
I was thinking about what are some of the most important things that I travel with right now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, what's something that just comes in so handy?
Okay.
I won't say it's, like, the most important things, but I find that it comes in so handy everywhere I go. You know what it is?
I know of one thing, but go ahead.
Go ahead. What are you going to say?
No, go ahead.
Okay. A long phone charger.
Okay.
Right? They come in like let's say if you've got an iPhone or something, it comes with like a 3-foot charger or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're longer now. But I buy like these 10 and 12 foot chargers, okay?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because I have found that when I travel around the world, around the U.S., you never know where that plug's going to be. I use it as an alarm. I use it as a sound machine.
Not the plug. You use your phone.
Oh, I use the plug as an alarm. No, yes. I use my phone as an alarm, a sound machine, all this kind of stuff.
Right.
And at night, I can always plug it in and still have it next to me.
Exactly.
It's rare that I can't. The only times that it happens, it seems like that I can, is because someone else is traveling when they seems to always forget their charger.
But he's not going to mention any names.
No. And here's another tip, too. We rent a lot of cars. Having another one with you that's like at least 5 feet long is great because you have the one that's dedicated to the car. It lives there, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't
just
have to bring it in and out and lose it and forget it and all that. So all right. That's my travel tip. It is something I use all the time. And I'm so thankful that I have a long cord that I've purchased just for that purpose.
For the hotels, and then a shorter one for the cars. But just make sure that when you return the car, that you are unplugging that cable taking it with you.
Of course.
When you leave the hotel, you do the idiot check, and you make sure that you grab your cable and the little pluggy
thing the cable goes into. I turn my alarm off when I get out of bed. I unplug the cable, right? And I put it there with my phone.
And then you put the cable in its
place. Because I'm not going to forget my phone. Yeah, exactly.
All right.
So that's my travel tip.
That's a good one. And now it's time for our How We Bring Travel Home segment, our little souvenirs segment.
Okay, souvenir.
Oui. Mm. So, since you're kind of speaking French, one of the things that I brought home from France one time, we were in Paris, and we went to this awesome home store, like home decor kind of stuff.
Oh, so cool.
And they had, yeah,
we
I wanted
to
bring
a long time in there.
I wanted to bring the whole store home. It's like modern, cool stuff. And I brought home this bamboo thing. So it was like this. Okay, like you know how like the hippie beads hang
hippie
across
kind of
doors?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's what it was. It was like it had this top board that maybe could go across where there would be a door frame or like a room divider. Like, y'all, this thing was huge. I would say it's probably like 4 feet wide. And then it hanging down perpendicular to that one board.
Hanging down from the board.
Perpendicular were these little like beaded like bamboo type looking pieces.
They were little bamboo pieces. Yeah.
Of yeah. So they were like do you remember those jump ropes that were plastic?
Yeah. Yeah.
They was kind of like that, but
where
like
it has
wood.
The plastic sections. Mm-hmm. This was wood and they were connected by these tiny little wires.
Yeah.
So all through it was like maybe an inch long or less piece of bamboo. With a wire going through it, connected to another wire, and then another inch long piece of bamboo like that. The whole curtain was that way.
But you mostly saw the bamboo. So yeah, it's like a curtain.
Yeah.
Good word. Like a curtain, but like a hippie curtain in the old day, you know, like with the beads. But
somebody hit me with a stick
okay,
of bamboo.
Okay, so anyway, this four-piece giant thing, and then you had to like wrap all of the bamboo up. And I really like... It was really creative how we flew this in the airplane. We had to carry it in the overhead bin. But we carried this home all of the way from Paris to the U.S., wherever we were living at the time. I guess Nashville.
Nashville, probably.
And it was black when I bought it. But, of course, I needed, like, this black brown, right? Mm-hmm. So when I got home, I then spray painted it. And I spray painted it, like, kind of really cool. 'Cause
it matched our
bed frame. I did a
good
job. Of like kind of mixing the brown so that you could see brown and black because I'm a good painter like that.
Mm.
And so anyway, that was cool. And we used it to kind of divide a room and just like give some texture to a wall. And then we moved to LA, we took it with us and then it ended up staying in LA because Rory ended up like really hating it. Anyway, I brought that home from Paris. And so, you know, most normal people, if they're going to buy something weird like that,
you know,
that's like 4 feet long and really doesn't fit in anything.
Really went well with LA.
Yeah, it did. It worked. Most people, like, would spend the money and ask the people to, like, ship it to the U.S. or something and pay all this money.
Not when you're broke.
But no, we're broke musicians. So we, like, wrapped it up in some kind of deconstructed box and tape and just somehow I don't even know how we got it home, but we did. And they let us. And
they didn't know.
But that was one thing we brought home.
That's true.
And brought it home
Paris
and made it part of our home.
Home.
And now we've moved on from that.
Yep. Somebody in LA is
enjoying it, I'm sure.
It's
still in the storage room where we left.
Sure.
We hope we've inspired you this episode.
So join us next time.
Please subscribe to, rate, and share our podcast with your friends.
Or, you know, whomever.
And please like and follow us on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook.
We're also on Twitter. And on all social platforms, we are at The Romies. That's
TheRoamies.
And our main hub is our website.
At www.theromies.com.
That's right. That's
TheRoamies.com. We'll be there until next time.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Bye.